Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Thecil Mole. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've tried and tried all these years to do that. I keep telling people, if you want to be happy in the Lord, go out and try to lead a soul to Christ or witness to somebody. That's what it tells us in the first chapter of Acts. We're supposed to be witnesses and soul winners. And the thing is, a lot of Christians are unhappy. They're running around with their face hanging down. How do you expect to be a witness for Jesus if you're a sad-looking person? You're supposed to have a joy deep down in your heart. I do. And it hasn't changed, even though I've been through an awful lot over these past 55 years. And most Christians, if you're going to be used to the Lord, you're going to have to go through some things. He said, you will have trials and tribulations, boy. And that's no lie. But you got someone to go with it, with you through it. Listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour your glass of iced tea, hot cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. Education will broaden a narrow mind, but there is no cure for a big head. I wish someone would notify our Harvard-educated president of this truth. I've labeled this tonight, God Send America a Leader. Now, the Apostle Paul was the most educated man of all the apostles. But Paul knew how to use his education. Some people are not big enough or smart enough to be a leader. That is what the American people have learned about our president. Yes, he's charismatic, yes. With his stupid teleprompter, he's a good speaker. But without one, he can't hardly carry on an intelligent conversation. He's ignorant, and self-willed. He will not obey the desires of the American people. He lies through his teeth every time he speaks. You know what? Whether you are a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, you know that what I'm saying is true. Oh, sure, he's turned things around. Oh, boy, has he. Brought on a Great Depression, and he's surrounded by his communistic leaders that he has surrounded himself with all this time. I'm saying, wake up, America. We can see the writing on the wall. He truly needs to be impeached for treason. Him, Reid, and Pelosi need to go. If you don't like what I'm saying, turn your radio off or change stations. Any born-again believer knows Obama is not born again. He says, I'm a Christian. But he don't give a testimony. You don't know when, how, or what. And he's belonged to a church where the pastor got up one Sunday morning and said, not God bless America, but God damn America. You've heard him say that and many times on TV and radio. And he sat under that terrible teaching for many years. And when the president goes overseas, he puts down America to our foreign friends. He blames President Bush for all the failures of our country. But he does not talk about his crazy stimulus spending that has cost us millions of jobs. People are losing their homes. But who cares? The president calls the Tea Party a bunch of loons. Well, Those so-called loons are right, and Mr. President, you know, he keeps helping the illegals and don't do anything about the border. And see what's about to happen in good old USA. 3,000 people were killed in this small town of Juarez in 1 year. But we are told America is safer than any time of our country's existence. Our president does not follow the Constitution, even though he taught it in college, he said. He certainly has tried to kick Almighty God out of our country. No national day of prayer in America anymore, because he prays to Allah. Hey, if you don't believe this, read his books, then you'll find out. You see, Cecil, you're upset tonight, aren't you? I hope to kiss a pig I'm upset. I spent 4 years in the Navy in World War II along with thousands and thousands of brave men and women. Did we fight and die in vain? Well, you tell me, every Christian in every war knows I'm telling the truth. Now let's get on with the message of the evening for those who did not turn off the radio. Paul was a very educated man, but he said, I came to you not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Then he goes on to say, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul did not let his education get in the way of God's true message. He also said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He made no attempt in eloquency, but in God's power. Friends, you have to have been in church Sunday after Sunday, and the pastor preached on what he had learned at seminary. No one is saved. The message was well prepared, but no souls are saved. Is it the church member's fault or the preacher? Or could it be a little of both? But if a pastor is at a church for years and years, and the church gets smaller instead of larger, it's time the church find a spirit-filled, spirit-led, God-called, born-again Christian to be their shepherd. Every message that Billy Sunday and Billy Graham preached was anointed with God's Holy Spirit, and millions of people were moved by God's Holy Spirit. People were saved by the thousands. Well, the churches I preached in revivals, people were saved at every service. Surely it was not because I was a great orator, because I am not, but because I was concerned about people. I loved people. So did Paul, and so did Billy Graham and Sunday. Possibly, if I had had a seminary education, I might have gotten the big head. I didn't have an education to fall back on. I had to depend on God's anointing. What stood good about Reverend Tom Baird was that he preached in the power of God's Holy Spirit. He told us about leading souls to Christ, and he always gave a little testimony of how he was saved. Yes, many tears would stream down his face as he preached about the crucifixion of Jesus our Lord. And he took the time to teach those of us who were not too smart. Truly, I say this with all the humility that I possess, that I am a Tom Baird trained preacher of the gospel. I told you about preaching a revival in the second largest church in Dallas. A man with snow white hair sat in the front pew and took notes of every sermon I preached. It made me quite nervous. And the last day of the revival, this dear old man came forward and said, Brother, there's no doubt. You are a Tom Baird trained man. He said, I was Reverend Tom Baird's evangelistic professor in the Southwestern Seminary. And Cecil, I've given you a passing grade. Hey, I almost cried. Oh, how I thank God for Brother Tom Baird. The morning I called him out of bed at 2 a.m., I was about to commit suicide, but I was afraid to die. He assured me that he possessed the answer to my problems, and he did. Well, Now, I want you to know how many preachers would invite a drunk into their home, perfect stranger, at 3 a.m. in the morning. He did it. It was there that a hell-bound derelict was converted to Christ and delivered from the curse of alcohol after speaking to 6 other preachers over the years. It seemed to be the only one who actually knew Jesus as his Savior. Weeks after I joined his church, I followed Jesus in baptism, that's by immersion. And he began talking to me about going on visitation. Well, at that time, he only took me to alcoholics because that's where my expertise lied. Thank you for lemonade. Then years later, I bought a motorhome and started taking husbands and wives to churches in Montana, Texas, Washington, Colorado. Well, we would take their people out and train them. And all this time, men and women are being saved. I've got a bunch of letters in my office that I'm so proud of from pastors who said, Cecil, your group did more for our church than we can't believe how that happened. And he said our church began to grow because we didn't go to the church to tell the pastor how to preach. We went to the church to teach their people how to win souls. Oh, I wish they would do that. I wish every church in America would do that. We'd see something happen, but you won't get people to do that. Well, I wonder, does your pastor train your people? Does he talking about winning souls? You see, he has to lead by example. And if he doesn't lead by example, his people are not going to learn. Well, let me ask you a hypothetical question. Supposing I'd come to your home on an invitation, of course. I'm trying to sell you a life insurance policy. Boy, you like my presentation. Your tongue's actually hanging out. This policy is for you. Then I get up and say, thanks for letting me share with you about our company and our insurance policy. Well, I must be going for another client. You say, what about us? We want to buy. Well, maybe some other time. Goodbye. Why, you'd blow a gusset. Here's a preacher of a local church. You come to sit down in the pew, and he tells you all the joys of being a Christian, tells you about the beauties of heaven, then say, turn to page 135, and we'll sing a parting song. That's what thousands and thousands of churches are experiencing today. No invitation. Playing that ragmop music and no hymn books. Pastors who will not visit their flock. God warned his pastors, woe unto you pastors who do not visit your flocks. He said, I'll send you one who will. Paul said in verse 9, but as written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the hearts of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You say, you have just had a heart attack? You have an inoperable cancer operation facing you? Woe is me, what shall I do? The best advice that I can give you, pray. 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 No matter how impossible, you can still pray. Ask others to pray for you. Yes, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard the things God has prepared for them that love him. You say, so I say, do you love God? I remember the night that I went to a preaching service at Mount Baker's Assembly Ground in the state of Washington. The speaker kept saying, do you love God? And under my breath, I said, sure I do. Then he asked again. I said, sure I do. And I couldn't understand it. All the way back to my travel trailer, I kept thinking, why did that preacher keep asking me, do you love God? Well, didn't Jesus ask Peter that several times? The reason he wanted to know for sure that Peter truly loved the Lord. So I got in bed and flipped and flopped Do I love God? Well, of course. I love God, and the Lord spoke to my heart. Then get up. Go over to the Lash's trailers parked beside yours and tell them about Jesus. So I did. We talked till late in the night. And Mrs. Lash tried to convince me she was a church-going, very good little girl, never had any problem. She truly did not believe she was a lost sinner. And let's face it, people, it's hard to convince a person they need Jesus if they don't think they're a sinner. Now, that was a different. Daryl, he knew he was a sinner. We both were pretty good watermelon Steve and thieves, and I hate to admit that. Well, we went to church the next morning, and God's Holy Spirit got all over those people. Millie, Daryl, Joe, and my niece Linda. All four of them accepting Christ as Savior. And all four of them made their profession of faith by public acknowledgement by as Christ as Savior. Cecil, do you love God? I sure do. I sure did that night at Mount Baker Assembly, God. Friends, if God can use a jackass to speak to people, why can't he use us preachers? If God can raise up rocks to worship him, why can't we? Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. And believe me, Paul shared his testimony wherever he was sent. I have been criticized by some of my pastor friends that Cecil always given his testimony. Well, what the Lord has done for him, I guess that's true. When I go to the post office, when I go to my bank, when I go to restaurants where my wife and I eat, and I ask them about that, if they know the Lord and if they're going to go to heaven, you'd be surprised at many times the people I've had the privilege of leading to Christ. One day, my wife and I ate at Friday's. They have an excellent raspberry salad. This young lady in her early 20s waited on us and asked her if anyone had ever told her how to get to heaven. And she answered no. So I gave a very short testimony, and she truly thanked me for such an interesting story. And I said, you ask my wife if this is not true. Well, she kept coming back to our table and checking on us. Finally, it was evident that she wanted to trust Jesus. I reached over and took her by the hand, and I said, young lady, are you ready to repent and trust Jesus today? And her voice quivering, she said, yes. I told her I'd lead her in a sinner's prayer, and I did, and she prayed. And I said, did you really mean that? Oh, she come over and hugged me in front of all those people. Friends, this has happened many times in restaurants that I've visited. I just don't drop them. As some Christians do, I gave them books, gave them my movie, gave them Bibles, no charge. I encourage them to find a Christ-honoring church, get into Sunday school, and get baptized as an act of obedience. Friends, listen to me. If dumb old Cecil can do that, look what you educated people can do. Paul lived his Christianity. He walked his talk. But let me ask you, friends, what are you doing? You say, I'm old. God can't expect much of that anymore. Let the young Christians do it. That's just a lame excuse. And God will not accept it. Here's the one thing you need to do, friends. You need to pray for holy boldness. Ask him to fill you daily with his Holy Spirit. You know, I remember one time I was selling roofing in California when I was going to Bible college. And the boss said, hey, Cecil, there's a dentist over here who needs a new roof on his house. I want you to go over there and give an estimate before you go home tonight. I wanted to go home for some reason. I wanted to get out of there. But he said, no, I want you to do it tonight. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So I got in my truck and I went over to the house, knocked on the door, and this young teenage boy came and said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "My name is Cecil Moe, and I'm with Byers Roofing Company, and I understand your dad wants an estimate on a new roof on his house." He said, "Yes, he does." I said, "Well, can I put my ladder up and go look?" "Oh, sure." So I put my ladder up there and measured it off and had sat down in the car and in my truck and wrote out the estimate and knocked on the door again. And this young man came to the door, and I says, "You give this to your dad." He said, "Well, my mother's here. Would you give it to her?" I said, "It's not necessary." "No," he said, "I want you to give her this estimate." I said, "Okay." And here come this lady to the door, and it was very obvious that she'd been crying. Her eyes were real red, and she had her hanky in her hand. So she invited me in and apologized for her looks, and I said, "Ma'am, I came to sell you a roof, but actually, I'm a preacher. And I see that there are some tears there. Could I help you? Anything I can help you with?" And she said, "I don't want to burden you, but I'll tell you what the problem is." I said, "What is it?" "Well," she said, "my husband is a real evil person. And he's been trying to get us involved in a key club." I said, "What's a key club?" "Well, they go and they exchange wives. Truly, they exchange wives. It's a swinging party. And she refused to do it." And I said, "You did the right thing." And said, "I really shouldn't be crying, because," she said, "my religion says that tears is a sign of weakness." I said, "Ma'am, I got the answer for you right now here." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior." I shared my testimony with her. And as she sat there, tears coming down her face, and I said, "Ma'am, if you'll kneel right here with me, and you'll invite Christ in your heart, tell him you're a sinner, and invite him in your heart, he will not only save you, but he'll give you rhyme and reason for the reason to live." She said, "I want to do that." So we knelt there, and I led her in a sinner's prayer. And I want you to know, dear friends, every year for years before she passed away, she'd write me a letter and tell me how thankful she was. Her husband never did get saved, and he died. Her son was shot right through the heart with a gun and didn't die, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and her daughter did too. And what would she do? They had a fancy, fancy home, and she would teach Bible study to these dentists and doctors' wives. Oh, friends, listen. You do have to have holy boldness to be a good soul winner for Jesus. But God gives it. We don't work it up. We don't earn it. He gives it to us so that we might be effectual witnesses to the Lord. Now, I never dreamed when I went in that home that I was going to introduce a soul to Christ. But it said, always be ready to give an answer to those that asketh of you. People are watching. If you're a Christian today, people are watching every move you make. And you're the only Bible that they're ever going to read, maybe. So, you've got a job to do. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God," and then here's the clincher, "and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Well, educated, but depending on God to help him. He was a great preacher, a great soul winner. And friends, you can be the very same thing if you want to be. The decision is yours. It's just like tonight, if you're listening to the broadcast and you realize that you are lost and undone, and the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what he said. Now, if you get a tugging at your heart right now, you know what you need to do? You need to kneel with me right now on the floor there, and you need to pray this powerful prayer, and it goes like this. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, I confess that I'm lost and undone. Tonight, Lord, I open my heart. I am truly sorry for my sins and my life. And Lord, help me to be everything that you want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air, and I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned whether you go to spend eternity. It's either heaven or hell. Now, Jesus is waiting for you to come to him tonight. 303-471-8534. I am waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you for listening. Friends, I was born and raised in a wheat and cattle ranch in the Dalles, Oregon. And if you put a burr under a horse's saddle, you'll get bucked off. Well, I got a burr in my saddle tonight. I do pray for the president's soul. I pray God will save him. But my dear friends, he is wrong, dead wrong. And he's leading our country off into a I don't know what. It's up for the Christians to stand up, say we can't put up with this anymore. If you know the Bible said the country that forgets God shall surely perish. Oh, pray for our country. Pray that God will save our president. And go out there and win souls. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.